You may be seated.
The second scripture reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2. And I want to talk about something just before I get into that. When we think about consolation, the first thought that comes to mind is, well, the consolation prize. But it's a form of the word console, to console, to comfort. So when you hear that word in here, they're talking about consolation being the comfort brought to the people by the Messiah. Now, chapter 2 begins with the birth of Christ, and it follows with the story of the shepherds and the angels, which we've just heard. And then it speaks to the third part, Jesus presented in the temple. Well, he was presented in the temple because Jewish law requires that the firstborn son be consecrated to the Lord. So that's why they were there. Let's pick up the story in verses 25 to 29. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Dutch. I wanted to look at the text in Isaiah this morning. An interesting text in Isaiah chapter 11. If you want a picture of the Messiah who was to come, most people would look in the chapters in Isaiah that would deal with the kingship of the one who was to come. Not those chapters in Isaiah or elsewhere in the Old Testament that talk about the suffering servant. You'd want to look at passages that really lift up this one that was to come. And here's a text in Isaiah chapter 11 that seems rather humbling when it comes to a description of someone that was to follow Jesse, who, as was already shared this morning, Jesse was David's father, and coming down from David, the Messiah was in that line and was born. But instead of talking about a tree of Jesse, talks about a stump of Jesse. It doesn't sound like a very pretty picture when you go out into the woods and you look at all the beauty that God's created and you see a stump. You don't look and say, "Oh, isn't that stump beautiful?" You probably have to look at all the trees around that stump and you'd say, "Oh, aren't they beautiful?" Because the stump reminds you that something has been cut off. And yet it says right here in this text, in chapter 11, that a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. And from his roots, a branch will bear fruit. It's almost like what seems to be coming from death is going to be life itself. But it says something about this stump, this shoot coming up from the stump, whom we recognize to be Jesus, the Messiah. He was the one that was to come. It talks about how this person, this shoot, this Messiah was going to be. This Messiah was going to be full of the spirit of wisdom. And here are some words that are used to describe this person that would come, this Messiah that would come. It says, be full of wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now think about that for a moment. Spirit of wisdom, full of understanding. When you think of understanding, you think of someone that can explain to you what's going on. Now, for instance, if you have a car that is having issues, mechanical issues, don't come to me because I don't have an understanding of those kind of issues. A mechanic would, and they could fix your car. Or if you would have financial issues that you have to deal with, you'd probably go to an accountant, wouldn't you? Because they have understanding of that sort of thing. Or if you have some health issues, you go to a doctor because they have an understanding of those kinds of things. This one who was to come from the root of Jesse, out of the stump, this little branch that would come, that would become mighty and glorious, said this would be one who would have understanding. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. I think about that. Jesus is someone who understands us. Jesus understands every single one of us and what we're going through. I know some people come to me at times and say, well, Jesus just wouldn't understand. I say, oh, no. Jesus understands. Because Jesus is God come in human flesh. He's fully divine and fully human. He understands everything that you and I are going through. Like even when we're praying on Sunday morning and some of these concerns are not lifted up because they're just deep down in our hearts and we don't want to share them because maybe they're private, whatever. God knows and understands what your needs are and what my needs are. He understands. He completely understands. So you know, when you go to this one who came as a babe in Bethlehem and died on the cross and rose again and come to him with all of your stuff, I call it with all of my crap, he understands. Completely understands. He's the only one that completely understands everything. You can come to him with all of it because he is the one who came with the spirit of wisdom and understanding. It says he also came with a spirit of counsel. He won't steer you wrong. You know, sometimes people give us wrong counsel, don't they? Sometimes they say, do this or do that, and it may not be the right thing to do. But the Messiah, Jesus, who came, will never, ever steer you or me wrong. Ever. The counsel that he gives in the Word is a counsel that holds true in every situation. That's the one who's to come. This one from the stump of Jesse, a little shoot that comes, would be someone who would be so filled with the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding and the spirit of counsel that you could go to him with all of your concerns and he will never, ever, ever steer you wrong. Also says he had the spirit of power. Now, I know how you and I, or at least I shouldn't say how you, I know how I am when it comes to this whole thing about power. I don't know how many times when we go through the story of Christ and his death and his resurrection, when I saw the movie, what was it called, many, many years ago? Yeah, The Passion of Christ. Jesus, why didn't you show your power when they were whipping you and they're putting the crown of thorns on your head? And when you were up on the cross, why didn't you just rip your hands off and show them who you are? Why didn't you just rip your hands off and nail everybody who was wanting to hurt you and harm you and mock you and all that sort of stuff? And I thought, God, show your power. Jesus, just show everybody who you are. And I'm watching that movie and I'm just thinking, why don't you do that? Because they are mocking you and they are hurting you and they are They don't know what's going on. Show them who you are. You see, that's what I wanted. But then, I know the story. And he had something bigger and better than that. He showed his power, first of all, by showing us a love that is so great that would take him to his death in the most cruel form of death that the Roman government could ever come up with. They wanted to... How cruel can we be to the criminals? And he died that kind of death. The power came later, because we know the rest of the story. He rose from the dead. And death had no power over Jesus. He rose from the dead and he's coming again. He showed power in a different way than what we sometimes want to show power. You know, there's a power of love. That's what he had. He had the power of love. That could overcome anything. A power of love that says, I don't care how much you want to mock me. I don't care how much you want to talk about me in the negative. I don't care how much you want to ignore me. I love you anyway. That's how much God loves you and me. He loves us anyway. The question is whether you or I are going to respond to that love. This one who's going to come from the stump of Jesse, the spirit of power, the spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. Now, when we think of fear of the Lord, don't think of fear of the Lord the way some people think of fear of the Lord. Some of you may have grown up in homes where you were taught to just utterly fear God. He's going to come down and nail me over the head like a whack-a-mole because of all the things that I'm messing up with. And he's going to whack me, and I'm going to come, and he's going to whack me again, and I'm going to come up and you whack me again. And you've had this idea of God. It's not God. God wants to embrace you and me when we make a mess. So you know what? I want to take you from where you are right now and make you into who I want you to be. And that's what he wants to do with every one of us. And for some of us, it takes an awful long time to get there. In fact, none of us get there while we're in this life. But we move in that direction of where God would like us to be. This is the one who came from the stump of Jesse. He had the spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, knowledge, and fear of the Lord. And here is what he would do. And I want you to get this too. Judgment did not come by sight or hearing, but by righteousness. Read that. I want to read that for you so you understand I'm not just saying it. Verse 3. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness. How often do you and I judge by sight and by hearing? And he judges by righteousness. How many times have I looked at someone and my initial opinion of them may be a negative opinion because they just come across that way to me? Because I see, or I hear, or I've heard. Did you hear about them? Huh? Your neighbor? You think I'm bad? We see and we hear. But this one who came, the one who has come, said, I am going to judge by righteousness. He will judge the heart. You know what? All God wants from you and me is the intent of the heart. And sometimes it doesn't look too good on the outside. Sometimes it looks like I'm failing or you're failing. But he wants your heart. That's what he wants. The intent of the heart. Because he judges by righteousness. Not by seeing or hearing, but by righteousness. Because seeing and hearing, as you know and I know, can be deceiving. He would be an advocate for the lesser than, because after that estate, he says, judging the poor. Advocates for the lesser than. Because he is righteous, he will judge. By the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips, he doesn't even need to raise a hand. You see, there's two sides to this whole thing, because there is judgment too. Although God is an all-loving God, he's also a God that demands that sin be dealt with, that injustices be remedied. That's who God is, because he's a just God. But he did it through Jesus, who paid for the ugly mess on the cross at Calvary and rose again. I have to admit, I'm part of the problem, so I can also be part of the solution. I'm a sinner who needs a Savior. And thanks be to God, he gave me that gift. What is the effect of what this Messiah who came from the stump of Jesse, this little shoot, what is the effect of what he'll do? You know, if it's left to us, you and I judge by seeing and hearing, don't we? Oftentimes, that's what we do. We judge by seeing and hearing. And that's why so many times people won't darken the doors of a church, because sometimes people think, well, they know who I am. They know how I act. They know what my history is. They know what I've done. And so I can't go in there because they will judge me. And I hope and pray in the Church of Jesus Christ that we're not that way. God says, come just as we are. As messed up as we are, just come just as we are. And then he takes us from where we are and brings us to where he wants us to be. And that's what we ought to be as the Church of Jesus Christ. So many times we only advocate for someone if it benefits us or benefits our cause. There's none of that in Jesus. He wants us no matter what. The problem with us is we have no power or ability to correct what is going wrong, but he does. So let's leave it to him. Because you know, if we leave it to him, if we leave all of this to him, then what's he bring to us? What's he bring to us? He brings verses 6 through 9 in the text this morning. He brings peace and harmony. He brings no fear of the enemy, and no harm will befall you. In the sense, what he means by that, yes, things happen, but in the end, we do have victory. What it says here in this text is, this one who came from the stump, a little shoot, who's going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, at some point, it says the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of him. The whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of him. I pray for a world, oh God, where everybody knows that you exist. That they know that there's a creator God. That what happened in this world, it just didn't happen by happenstance. It just didn't come into existence because of some big giant bang. But there's a creator God behind it. You. And you loved us so much when you created us in those 6 days, and you said on the 6 days that what you created was very good. You had a solution for the problem that happened in the Garden of Eden. And this one who came from the stump of Jesse, the little shoot, who became our Messiah, was the solution to everything that ails us. There really is nothing else to live for, except for the one who lived for, died for, and lives again for us, Jesus. Amen. Would you turn and close?